Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them? I'm Lily Marston, here with Jesse Smiles, and this is episode 16. And you might be like, why is that important? And I just would like to point out there was a point that we didn't know if this would make it to episode 2.
Yeah, a lot of you guys, which I honestly have found it very interesting, that a lot of people have found us just through this podcast. And we had a life before this, guys. This is not our first rendezvous.
But you were going to be like, where have you been?
No, hello, never. But like, we have lived many lives on the internet. I actually started on Vine. Lily started at Clever. It's a long story, okay? If you've been here a while, you may know it. We don't have time to get into it. Actually, we do. We have no idea what the fuck we're going to talk about in this video. But I digress. We had a lot of trouble staying consistent on our main channels. For me personally, it was because I used to do a lot of story times when story times were on and popping on YouTube. And then I got married and had kids. And I was like, my life is so boring. I literally have nothing to talk about anymore.
Oh my
and
God,
then,
it's funny.
What was your reason?
I feel...
What's your excuse?
It's funny. I feel like your problem is that you don't have any ideas. And my problem is that I have too many.
Wait. But how is that a problem? Because it's so many, you can't even pick one?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish, bitch. I literally have no ideas.
I literally have, like, in production a 10-part, hour-long each Jeffrey Epstein series just on my computer.
Well, you've sent me, like, an unlisted link to one of them. And I'm like, if I put that much work into anything, it would have seen the light of day. Because, like, absolutely not. I'm not going to waste my time putting that much work. It's like a documentary, like, quality.
And it will eventually. And I just need this podcast to make enough money that I can not have to rely on that making money, because it gets demonetized pretty quickly because it's kind of controversial topic-wise, you know? But then it's like, if it can't be what I like really want it to be, then I'm not gonna put it out. So that's a lot of them just live in my head.
I mean, I kind of have that like status in my brain too. Not status, God, my words, like I don't know words when we start filming this podcast, but I have that expectation, I guess is the proper term, with my own content, but not to that severity, because I never put out anything that's like documentary worthy. It's just like, I'm like, it's not really that funny or whatever. I don't think people are going to want to see it. And then people always want to see it. And they're like, you should have just fucking put this out. Like, whatever. Point is, we had a really rough time creating content on a consistent basis. So when we started this podcast, everyone doubted us. Everyone was like, oh, cool. You're going to do one Sunday and then the next Sunday you're going to quit, which almost happened because we were late. Like the following Sunday after we started, we had to post on Monday.
We had technical
issues. And I wanted
to
die. Bitch, I wanted to die. I was like, we did it. We fucking disappointed everyone just like they knew we would.
No, but we joined forces and we proved everyone wrong, because I feel like having to rely on each other gives us something to be like, okay, I'm held accountable for something.
Oh, 100%. Like, I feel completely obligated to do that. Like, we have to, we can't let the people down.
Oh my God, we were supposed to film yesterday, but I ended up having to make us not film because, first of all, I've been sick for a week. I'm sorry I missed the live stream, you guys.
Don't bring that up. You're going to start a war in the comments. No, guys, listen.
I don't even know. I haven't watched it still.
Don't. Okay, we were supposed to do a Deaf Noodles roast reaction number 4 live stream. We announced it like 2 episodes ago. We were like, be there or be square. Friday night, we're going to make this happen. Thursday night came and Lily was like, uh-oh, I don't feel well. My back's all fucked up. And I was like, okay. And I was like doing like rehearsals for the live stream. I was like, I don't know what this means. And then the next day, Lily's like, no. Like, I'm really fucked up. Like, I don't. Like, the whole day she was trying to see if she could do it.
Well, because when my back goes out of place, like, it's all very hypermobile. So I can pop things back into place sometimes.
That seems completely fucked, by the way. Like, that should not happen, right?
It's not fun. No, I don't enjoy it.
Because it sounds awful.
Well, and very inconvenient as well.
It's like, oh, my ribs into my fucking throat today.
Literally. Sorry. No joke, though. But so this situation, I thought that it was just like something in my like neck, which will like kind of make me feel weird, like makes my throat kind of sore. Like it just gives me kind of strange symptoms that might mimic like sickness symptoms. But I didn't think I was sick. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I literally am still like, I ended up waking up Friday. I had a fever definitely all day. I was just sweating. Couldn't do anything. I was just like curled up in a ball in my bed dying. And I tried, but
that's when it stresses me out that you live by yourself too. Cause I'll ask Lily, I'll be like, do you have a fever? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? Do you not own a thermometer?
Question. No. But so what, maybe unpopular opinion, but what is the point of taking your temperature? Like, I can tell if I have a fever. What am I going to do? Like, I'm going to take an Advil. Because what am I going to do differently if I find out that I have a fever?
Okay. Well, glad you asked. Very important to know this, Lily. But a fever is fine. And it's actually a great sign that your body is doing what it should be and fighting off something. So if you have a fever that's like 100 to like 102, totally fine. Let it do its thing. If it starts getting to like 103, 104, you need to get it down ASAP, especially once it starts getting to 104, because you can literally seize. And
you
like,
know when it's at 104. Like, I've had it that high before and like you can't move. Like, you're like literally like...
You'd be surprised because it depends on the person. For me, yeah, like I would know. Like, when I have 100 fever, my bones feel like they're going to break. So by 104, I'm like dying.
And that ends up being my problem also, is that then once I start to get sick, then all of my joints and muscles and everything fuck up even more. So then it just is like everything's out of whack. But no, in college I used to get before I got my tonsils out, I got strep throat like every weekend. Basically it was a miserable semester. I remember one time I had a like 104.5 fever or something, and I was in so much pain. Like, I was just crying, and my friend had to drive me to the emergency room. I just remember when they gave me like a giant like extra strength Tylenol, and I fell asleep in the, like...
Because it's so exhausting.
Yeah, because I was just dead.
Well, I mean, I also, like, I'm hypervigilant about that because I have kids. So it's like, when they get fevers, I'm sticking that shit in their ear.
They might not be able to communicate it to you, but it's like... If I felt that ill, I would know if something's wrong.
I still think you should own a thermometer, but it's okay. I guess you're intuitive.
You get my point, though? Like,
yeah, I get it. But at the same time, for me personally, as your friend, you also go like radio silent and like won't text me back. And then I'm like, sure you're like lying on the bathroom floor, like needing a life alert.
When does that happen? Only if I'm sleeping.
But you were sleeping like the whole day. Or like trying to sleep because you were so exhausted.
Yeah.
So it was like I would text you and then I wouldn't hear back for like 2 hours. I was like, oh my God, like that's it? She's done? Like it was so stressful. So that was all happening the day of the live stream we were supposed to do it. I was like, I don't know. And to Lily's credit, she tried really hard at the end there. She's like, I'm grabbing a Truly.
I got ready. This.
You did. You were like mid ready. You had like some makeup done. You were in front of the camera and you just looked so defeated. And then after she like tried to get on stream and like figure out to get on the camera.
It was like,
then she realized
if I could have just like turned on the computer and it been on, it would have been fine. But the fact that I had to like then think and do anything, it was like, no. I'm sorry. Bye.
For me personally, I could never, like, if I knew a live stream was going on this channel and like it wasn't with me, I would have to watch it. But like, you literally went to sleep like while we were doing the stream.
I also took a muscle relaxer to force me to actually fall asleep and not just lay there. Yeah. But so I slept through it and slept like 16 hours because I was dead. Then I was sick for the next like 5 days. I haven't really watched anything. My brain hasn't really been wanting to focus.
Megan, actually, our friend Megan Ranks, she ended up coming on to the stream and helping me out. I'm trying to work on like keeping my word. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna do it. Like, you know, I'm just gonna do it. Fuck it. We told people we were gonna do it. Who knows if like one person out there shifted their plans on a Friday night to like watch it. I doubt it. But
which I really appreciate, because my worst thing about having like chronic back issues and weird like is having to bail, and I always feel so guilty. So having you to pick up the slack was nice.
Right. Well, Megan really helped out too, and
Megan,
it was fine. I know we're rambling a lot, but either way, there's like not that much drama to talk about. So we're just talking about life. Okay, get over it. No, Megan was great on the stream. We had a good old time. The roast was awful. There was like 3 people there, and it was just like unbelievably cringe to watch. Like, it was just so sad at the end. At the end, Dennis was like doing his outro and people were just walking out and he's like, all right, everyone's just leaving. Okay. It was
kind of how I feel like his channel is right now.
There was one person who commented on his video yesterday and was like, that your content's hitting its stride. Keep it up. And I was like,
I saw that. I mean, so I love that. Like, I say that no one's watching it, but we literally are like watching it and reading the comments.
We're one of the 2,000 who watch daily.
Yesterday's I couldn't even watch. Today's the whole time I just sit there and I'm like,
I don't watch them daily. I skip plenty of them now. It's not like, I used to click on every single one, but now I'm like, this whole little skit switching to drama thing is weird.
If I have nothing to do, then it's like, okay. But then I like turn it on, and then it just makes me like irrationally mad because he's so, like, he's either being so stupid or so weird that I'm like, why are you doing that? Stop doing that.
Well, the only funny part of the roast was it wasn't even funny, but like Corey did like, it was like wild and out. Like he was doing this rap and I was low-key jamming to it. The beat was nice. But other than that, I was like, what the fuck is this? But anyway, we had so many technical issues. It's a long story. Anyway, point is, I was not proud of that stream, okay? And people got pissed as fuck at me. I don't know if they also tagged you on Twitter, but I have been getting tagged. Just like, Jesse, if you say you're going to leave the stream up, like, you need to leave the stream up. Like, why are you telling us one thing and doing another? Just leave it up. And you know what? I read all of that and I said, I don't care. I don't care. I'm sorry. Okay, you want to sue me? Sue me. But like, I literally am so like ashamed of that stream because the technical issues were one thing. I didn't like it. Like, I don't want eyes to see it. I don't know how to describe that, guys. I'm sorry. You know I would leave it up. If it was like even an ounce okay to watch, okay. But like, it haunts me in my dreams, that stream. Like, I don't want anyone to see it.
She is very self-critical.
Could be.
And again, I have not.
Well, why don't you give it a watch? Yeah, it's bad.
I don't know if I want to now.
It just was like, okay, the entire fucking stream was people yelling at me. The audio's too loud. The audio's too low. Megan's too loud. Megan's too low. My brother's texting me. Megan's too low. Megan's too loud. Then we, you know, God bless her. Thank you, Grace, for helping us if you're watching this. But we had someone new that was helping us with like technical stuff. And I was so distracted because she was putting polls in the chat. It was just a lot going on. She was like commenting to people and I was trying to like hyper-focus on like what she was doing. And then I couldn't focus on anyone else. It was too much going on. I was like so just stressed out from the whole thing and that like people weren't able to hear us properly. And I'm like, why the fuck would I want that to live on the channel even for 24 more hours? Like, that's gotta just die. So we do apologize. However, I'm gonna learn how to do our own thing live stream wise. We are gonna fucking do it and we're gonna just hop on here, do some like happy hours with you guys, and it's gonna be great. And those we will leave up, guys, as long as it's not painfully embarrassing or something horrible happens. I don't know. I'm sorry. People were pissed. You don't understand, Lily. I was canceled on Twitter.
No, you weren't. I was like, I can't imagine. Like, and I wasn't tagged in any. I mean, I appreciate you guys for leaving me out of it while I was sick. But
you bitch. Let me get canceled on my own.
I've not seen one thing about it.
Well, I saw many and people being like, Jesse, the technical issues weren't that bad and whatever. And I get it. And it's not just the technical issues. It was the awkwardness of it all. The whole stream was off. But again, I really want to thank Megan because she was great. Like, she was really funny. And obviously she always is. And always, yeah. You know, we did our best. And those who saw it, there was, I don't know if you know that guy who follows us, Andrew. He's always very nice and like at every live stream or something.
Last name starts with a G.
A Giglioleo or something.
Guys, I have a problem, Andrew. I realize, of like things, like names that I see only on social media that I like say in my head, but I realize I've never said out loud and then I can't because I'm like, oh, I don't know actually what it is. I just like,
yeah,
know what
your
it
brain
looks
just
like
scans it. Yeah. But he actually commented when I said that I wasn't going to leave the stream up. He goes, not going to lie, this does add to the mystique of your live streams. It's kind of like a you had to be there thing. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Very exclusive.
You had to be there because Jesse will private it out of anxiety in 2 hours. Actually, I privated it immediately before I went to bed. I was like, I will wake up with night sweats if I don't private this right now. So for those of you that missed it, I'm so sorry. Some of you were like, I was midway watching it and I had to go to work, you bitch. And I was like, they didn't say bitch.
That's what happened last time is people were like, I was halfway through watching it and then it went private.
I know. Oh, and that must be so fucking frustrating.
You should do like unlisted for a little bit. Like give it an unlisted padding maybe.
I just wanted to pull it from the world quickly so no one else could see it. I'm so sorry, guys. We'll get better. Anyway, shall we get into the episode now that we've been here for 20 minutes talking about nothing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was just thinking, like, could you imagine being so famous where it's like anything you post, people save immediately? Like, aren't you glad we're kind of relevant?
Yes. I think that all the time. I'm like, I could delete something and nobody would even... I mean, some people would have seen it, but like they wouldn't, you know, would it be that big of a deal?
But there'd be no proof.
No. Like Kanye West?
Or I was just thinking, even as a segue into our next, we'll do an update on the Try Guys, who they were already famous, but I just watched, they uploaded a new podcast episode today, a tripod. Love that.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh,
kind of funny. Yeah, I like it. I appreciate it.
With a Y or an I?
It's with a Y. Because try.
Good. I like it. No, yeah, I like it.
There wasn't any new information or anything introduced. It was mostly them just like talking through their emotions. But it was Zach.
I feel like they've been like going through some weird therapeutic situation in the last few days posting on social media.
Zach even said that he felt like he had this moment where he like woke up from this fever dream that he's been living for the last 8 years, where it's like, it's been like such an adrenaline rush and like doing the next thing and blah, blah. And I related to that so much because I felt like when I left Clever, it was just like, huh? What's going on? Because you're just like, go, go, go. And then suddenly, even how they open it, they're like, hello, everyone that normally listens and hello, everyone that does not, because they know so many random people are going to be coming to listen for it. They were already huge. And now so many more people are like, wait, what's going on? I cannot imagine.
I mean, I'm not going to start watching the Try Guys because of this.
Honestly, I had watched them like infrequently, like once in a while. Now their stuff keeps getting recommended to me, and honestly I've watched some of it and I really do like it. I think they're very endearing.
Okay.
But Zach was saying he opens TikTok and he's like, my For You page is just me.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's insane.
Here's the thing too. I have no say in this because I don't know any of these people. I just, you know me and my vibrations, okay, Catherine McBroom. I'm very in tune with my vibrations. But I do find it a bit interesting, and I get it. They said they had to like, I saw little clips of the podcast on Spill Sesh TikTok. They were talking about how they felt like they had to be like very like formal in the last month because they had to like deal with things by the book, and then now they feel like they don't have to do that anymore, and I get that. It just makes me feel, the only word I can describe it is a little like moment when I see how much they're kind of like mocking the situation, which I get it, it's intense and they've been through it, but I feel like they're like joking so much that I'm kind of like, whoa, that caught me off guard. They're like,
I feel like it's 100%, like I totally get it and I would be doing the exact same thing.
I don't know if I would be doing the same thing, but it does get me a little like, oh, because then like it's just a little contradicting in my eyes, where obviously they did nothing wrong. They have done nothing wrong. I'm not even saying this is something that they're doing wrong.
I didn't even know that was even like a narrative that was going on, that people were like, they knew and were covering it up. I was like, I don't think that was ever the case.
I don't think they were covering it up. I think it's impossible that they didn't know that Ned was a fucking sleazeball. And the reason why I think that, not that that's a fireable offense to be a dick, but like, I think that they knew that like he was, something was off. But we have to, oh my God, there's so much to actually cover, because we were going to do an update for the Try Guys thing, but Lily was sick, so we couldn't. So one person commented about how stale our tea is by Sunday. I'm like, listen, bitch, we film on Tuesdays. What do you want from us? But I have to say, what I was saying is that when they sat down and they did their like YouTube video and then put that on TikTok and stuff, they said like, you know, this involves like real people. This is a real, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, to me, it's a little bit off.
If you listen to the podcast, they aren't talking about Ned at all. Like, they're talking about their perspective of all of it. Like,
yeah, you know what? I totally get it. I have to retract that, because honestly, of course, they've spent so many years with this person. This person betrayed them as well.
Exactly. That's why I was like, it is so much bigger.
They're
like,
humans.
Not to diminish the fucked upness of him cheating on his wife, but I'm like, it's so much bigger than just him and Ariel, because I can't imagine having three business partners that you built this thing that, again, it's not even just like a normal startup. Like, they were able to build this thing at BuzzFeed and then leave with it. And that's like insane. That it does not happen. Then have so much success and literally, Keith at one point in the podcast says, like a week before, that he had this moment of like, everything's going so well. Like, could things be better?
Yeah, I have to say, never mind what I just said. Of course, they're going to feel, they're human beings. They're going to feel things. They have every right to joke about it. They've been through it with Ned. It's just, to me, like at first I was kind of like caught off guard because they had been so like tight-lipped about it. And like, you know, a month had gone by since they found out.
If they're making more like snide comments about Ned, I think it would even feel different, even though I think they would be deserved. I think they just very much only approached it from their own personal perspective of it and yeah. actually left him out of it in a way that I was like, come on, say something.
Well, okay. So why don't we jump from where we left off? Because since that moment, like when we uploaded our video, there had already been so many more things. And now there has been even more where it honestly just makes me so fucking angry. And like,
oh yeah, because we didn't even talk about the other. Okay.
It's so bad.
Well, so we had left off when they had all put out the statements. But yeah, then,
which is like, so 2 weeks ago or something. We are stale on the tea.
We never were trying to be the Deaf Noodles of the internet. I don't never, have never, cocaine. No.
Allegedly. Yeah, we left off way back when. And then after it hit publicity to the maximum, I mean, literally the internet imploded on itself.
And mainstream news, like New York Times and like Rolling Stone were covering it. So yeah. this yeah. was just like everywhere. Also, I don't feel bad for Ned at all, but I did express last time that I was like, what's going on with him that he was ready to just like implode his entire life? Like, why did he just not care? Because this wasn't—
Did you find the answer?
Just gonna mess up. No, I still have not. The only thing that I've come to is like, maybe I literally like, I can't imagine being that miserable in your own. Like if he was just like not really happy at work and like not really happy at home and was just like didn't know how to quit or like leave. So it was just like, well, this old force, I don't know, but I can't imagine being in that low of a mindset that you'd be willing to then fuck everyone else over in the process too.
Well, okay. I had, like I said before, I had seen Try Guys very much so in passing, mostly from the BuzzFeed days. After they went like solo, I really haven't seen anything. And every clip I go back to, Ned, like, I don't know how to say it in English, but like, oh my.
Gives you the ick?
Like, ew. Yeah, he gives me the ick. And it's not just in hindsight. Like, I know that if I would have been an avid viewer, I would have been like, God, he's so fucking annoying. Like, he's just annoying.
Honestly, I never had any thoughts about him before, but now because I keep getting recommended a bunch of videos, yeah, I keep seeing them and I'm like, oh.
Have you seen the compilations of yeah, like ironic and
it's not even him being like, oh, that's cute, he's so romantic. It's like, God, shut up.
Have you seen the one where Alex says that his wife is hot
to Ned because you have a hot wife?
Amen. I assume that you guys who are watching are up to date with everything that Ned was videoed making out with Alex in a club in New York.
If not, watch our last episode because none of this will make any sense.
Yeah, I would go back and watch immediately. Or maybe watch someone else's like shorter recap and then go back.
No, it's okay. You can watch ours.
In my head with that too, I was like, obviously like he wants to get caught. This is right. like some kind of self-sabotage thing. But also maybe they were just like really, really drunk and just didn't care. But no, you guys. So first of all, there was a text or something. Did we read that in the last one? I don't think we did.
What text?
The one that's like from someone else that explains like the whole narrative.
Oh, the
like
Dumois. The Dumois timeline. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That came out like a day before our episode went live.
And it was just speculative. And
completely. Yeah. People were saying that Dumois or whatever the fuck that is like not a creepypasta. What's the word? Like, you know, it's like kind of like storytelling. like they don't know if it's
true.
Well,
they're blind items. So it's like in Hollywood, there's a bunch of different websites that do it, and it's like Hollywood insiders, and a lot of the time they are true, but a lot of the time they aren't, so it's like yeah. you can't take it with a grain of salt. But here, should I pull it up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
take this with a grain of salt. I'm not saying this is true at all, but it does play into what we will show you next. Oh, wow, it's long. It says, December 2021, Alex's fiance, Will, went through her phone and saw her and Ned had hooked up while on some work trip. They ended up staying together, but Will reached out to Ned, warning him to back off. Beginning of this month, I want to say 9-1 or 9-2, Will and Ned's wife, Ariel, received videos and pictures from a few people showing Ned and Alex making out at a club as well as holding hands during the day at a market in NYC. Ariel had just landed in NYC to meet up with the Try Guys and their significant others, but got the news, confronted Ned, and when he confirmed that he and Alex had been in a relationship for almost a year, she got back on a plane and came back to LA immediately. Not sure how the NYC event played out, but Ned and Alex were suspended almost immediately. When Try Guys had talks with employees, many said that they had noticed flirting, knew they had lunch hookups, stayed at each other's places occasionally, and showed up to events together, and had big feels something was up. So this news has been aware to the Try Guys for close to a month, but what sparked the social media questioning and then an uproar a few days back was Will releasing some of the images of the DMs he received on Reddit. Obviously, Ned has been fired. So, the biggest thing I got out of that is a year.
I totally fucking believe it. Because, well,
I do, because then we see, well, so we already saw that other picture of them eating lunch or something.
Oh, right, right. There was like,
I don't know if we talked about that.
No, we didn't talk about it, but it was like a picture of them at a across from each other at a restaurant somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This one took place in May of last year. But then we see this TikTok.
You guys, first of all, I know we've seen the blurry photos. I know we've seen a lot of evidence. This shit pissed me the fuck off. Like, I saw it like late at night and my heart was like racing. I was so upset.
I got goosebumps. Like, I was like,
you dumb motherfucker. Okay, anyway, let's show you what it is.
My theory of like they were really drunk went out the window because wow, this motherfucker really doesn't care about any of it. Shameless. And either does she. Like, they're both public figures and they're both in relationships and I don't get it. Oh, so this was May as well. Mm-hmm. So in the same month, two lunch dates.
I don't mean to offend like maybe a large percentage of our audience, but the same side of the booth, tacky.
Honestly, that was my first reaction. I was like, ew. Someone did that with me on a date one time and I immediately was like, oh, this
is it reminds me of like us right now filming this podcast, not in a romantic way, obviously. But like, I have to like crane my neck over to see you on my screen.
It's so weird.
So uncomfortable. Like, I live in a small town in Georgia, okay? I know that I'm not going to get recognized when I go to Publix or like, you know, any of my usual places. I still always am just a little bit like aware of the fact that someone could potentially know who I am from having seen me on the internet, and I always exist as such. Like, I will never, I mean, not that I would have like scratched my bare ass in the middle of a Publix aisle in general, maybe,
but you're just more aware of just your surroundings.
How do you guys get to that point?
This man is in Burbank. This
not
is
Burbank,
literally. I cannot. I saw that and I was like, I would not expect to go to like a trendy, like, no. This looked like it was like a rooftop lunch spot. Yep.
In broad fucking daylight where we could see you so clearly, Ned, you fucking idiot.
It's not like he is like someone that got famous in his room by himself. This man worked at BuzzFeed. I can't imagine how many people in the industry he's met. Do you know how many of them are gonna be in Burbank? You could run into anyone and maybe they wouldn't know you're married, except for that you made it your entire fucking personality, so everyone knows.
Right,
you're
and
married.
Then you can
so
kind of like get some fucking leeway where it's like, okay, Alex does work at the Try Guys, so if you would have maybe that, no, that's what I'm saying. So same side of the table is where you fucked up even more, because if you were across from each other, it could easily be seen as like maybe you guys were on a shoot. And then if you expand the comments, the user who saw them out posted this comment that said, y'all, they were literally making out in front of a seafood tower. And then someone replied, I mean, oysters are aphrodisiacs. And it's just like, bro, I just can't. Like, you, any pass that anyone gave him, mind you, I haven't seen not a single person on the entire internet give him a pass, but anyone that did, no. Revoked. Like, you are so dumb.
Well, it's that, like, I wasn't even trying to give him a pass. I was just trying to find any kind of reasoning or something in my head to, like, make it make sense. And then it just makes less and less sense or more because you're just like, wow, clear cut douchebag.
I think it goes back to the theory that we had, or I don't know if I had it, who had it in the last episode, but that they probably thought that they like were in love with each other. You know, that like, I don't know, those people that think that that office romance or something is the thing that they should have had all along. And it's just this like weird, like we're in love with each other thing. That doesn't make any sense.
Alex is what her relationship with this poor guy, Will, that has.
I had no idea they had been together a decade.
Yeah, I was going to say they apparently had been together 10 years. So this is two people from very stable, monotonous, I'm not commenting. I don't know. But like maybe they felt that they were like at a point where it was just like boring and like they found something exciting at work. But how do you suspend all logic and
morality. Well, that's why I'm saying if they thought that they were in love with each other, then maybe to a certain degree they didn't care if they got caught because they thought like, well, then we'll be together.
I think that, ew. But it's like, what? But then with no careers.
And like, Ned, remember your children? Remember those? You'll still have to talk to Ariel. Sorry to break it to you, for the rest of your fucking life.
That's the thing. It's like, there's a lot of ways you could have, and like, you could have left your relationship. They could have gone a divorce and no one would have hated Ned if it was an amicable split. Like, I feel like maybe he thought because he built his brand around it that there was no out, like that he was just saddled in for life and this was the only way, kind of subconsciously. Well, but I'm like, that's so stupid.
You know, I was just watching. Okay, so I had seen, I don't think this had happened when we filmed our last episode yet, but they got paparazzi'd. You've seen that like footage of them getting paparazzi'd?
I forgot. How is that not what we led with?
Well, okay, there's so many theories floating around. Let's play the clip and then we'll get into the theories.
Hi guys. Hey, are you guys working things out?
Yeah. I mean,
you are?
Working things out.
Well, that's good to hear. Hi Ariel, hi Ned. Hey, what's next in your career, Ned?
Okay.
Okay, sure thing. Have a good day.
So the theories on this, a lot of people are thinking that it's staged. But when you look at it, it doesn't look staged from Ariel's perspective. She genuinely looks bamboozled and like taken off guard. It looks like it was staged from Ned's perspective because they're walking down a random fucking street.
I haven't heard that theory.
Because he's just like standing there. He doesn't seem quite as bewildered as she does.
I don't think there's no world where it couldn't be real, because like if a paparazzi was smart, I was told that this was like outside their house. So if a paparazzi was smart and they saw all this going on, this would be the place to get them.
Okay.
But that being said, I don't feel like that happened. And I don't know.
It's also
feel
so
like
weird
the
to
paparazzi
call
are like, I don't feel like paparazzi are going and photographing people that aren't like Justin Bieber. Like,
oh, they do it all the time.
Unless it's like Hollywood. What's
fix?
Thank you.
Yeah, that guy's on it.
There's that genre, and then there's like real paparazzis that like.
Yeah, this is TMZ who like posted this.
No,
so I don't know who
actually took
it.
This is something called Uncrazed. Let's see what other videos they have. This is exactly who I would expect, a celebrity paparazzi. Not saying that internet people aren't celebrities too, but there's a like mainstream celebrities versus Hollywood fix. Ben Affleck takes a stroll back to his car. Hugh Jackman, Jennifer Aniston, yeah. George Clooney, Jonah Hill. Those are paparazzi.
Actual
people.
Celebrities.
The ones that they like sell the shots to like magazines. And it feels like weird that this paparazzi would like suddenly, after only doing like Bella Hadid, Jennifer Garner, Emma Watson, suddenly has his finger on the pulse of the internet community.
I mean, at the same time, it was huge and it still is huge. I think the Try Guys video has like over 8 million views. Like, it's insane. It was number one trending on YouTube. Like, everybody had heard of it, even the people who don't know anything about the Try Guys. But at the same time, I just find it weird that, you know, you would call the paparazzi on yourself and then they come. And then when they're interviewing you, you're just like, I gotta go pick up my kids. It's just weird. Like, it's all around just a very weird encounter.
They didn't need to say anything though. All they needed to show was that they were okay with each other and that they're together. So that enough was the statement.
That's why I think it was a Ned thing though, because if she had any idea that this was going to happen, I think her response would have been a little bit different, because they asked her if you're going to work it out. She's just like, yeah, we're like, obviously what she came off as in her response was absolutely fucking not. That's what I got. Like, it was kind of like, we're parents and we have to like see each other. But like, I don't get the vibe that she's working anything out. Like, I got the vibe of like, fuck this guy.
I got the vibes of mind your own fucking business and I'm not answering that. Like, why? Well, and so one of the weirdest things that I thought is that the paparazzi was like, hi Ned, hi Ariel. It was very Hollywood fix-esque, as if they were like familiar with them.
Well, and she didn't say we're working things out. She said we're working on working things out, which means no.
But also the pictures, I guess, show, and that's what all of the headlines are, which is exactly, I'm sure, what they wanted, because I'm sure Ned has hired a very good PR team. You know, I would think he would, but at the same time, it doesn't seem like he really cares about his career, so maybe he didn't. But that they're wearing their wedding rings still.
Oh, the way that I would expeditiously yank that shit off my fucking finger and throw it into the nearest river.
But that's what I'm saying. So it doesn't even matter what was said. All that was needed was that they were seen together and they still have their wedding rings on.
Well, some people have those situations where their wedding ring's really tight and they can't take it off. Maybe that's her sitch. We don't know.
I definitely, until you brought it up, I wasn't under the impression that, like, Ariel was blindsided. I think that it wasn't her idea. I think it was definitely all to benefit Ned. But I think I said in the last time, or in the last video too, that I don't think, like, even if she, like, hates him right now, it doesn't benefit her to have him look bad, ultimately, because she doesn't want him to look bad for their kids. And just, like, financially, if he is totally ruined, that sucks. So I think that she benefits from him not having the worst fallout ever, and maybe would go along with it to help soften the blow. But I just feel so bad for her regardless.
That's a great point that you brought up, that he hired people. And maybe those people are the people who did this call or made this call. I just think that it's so disturbing to see the things that, like, came up. When people, anything happens like this on the internet, people are gonna dig. That's what we do, okay, on the internet. There's sleuths everywhere, especially Reddit, my God. They need to get into
Zach and Keith on the podcast were like, wow, you guys. Like, they need to hire teenagers at...
Seriously. But, you know, when people did the digging, a lot of things came up that were very uneasy to watch. I know that someone had commented on our video. I haven't seen it yet. But apparently there's clips of Ariel kind of talking in a video about how she was insecure because she was a little bit older than the other, like, partners and, like, the people in, like, the Try Guys, you know, circle. And Alex was there. And people were actually commenting that we missed the fact that Alex and Ariel were friends, that was something we didn't really touch enough on, where it's like they didn't just work together, like they knew each other on, like, a very friendly basis and had very friendly interactions and knew each other for a long time. And that is an important element of it, because even though Alex, and then some people tried to say she's not an employee, she's like a producer, like she's high up there, she's not like what a lot of people were saying in the comments.
A producer is an employee.
Yeah, but they kind of meant it to say, like, oh, she's very high up in the company. She's not, like, whatever.
He's her boss.
No, it doesn't.
Lot of people commented, and it was like, why is no one going harder on Alex? Like, she fucked up too. I think she fucked up her own relationship 100%. But I think at the end of the day, we have no idea what the dynamics of their relationship was. It very much seems like they were both fully into it. And yes, they're consenting adults. It's not illegal in the sense that it's, like, predatory. And I think that's, we talked about this in the last one too, that it's just kind of weird semantics wise how to refer to it, because it's not like sexual assault. It's just like a misuse of power. And even if it doesn't feel like a misuse of power, that doesn't mean it might not evolve into that, or you might not realize it.
Someone commented that you guys had a lot to say about our last episode, and we've been reading it, all right? But no, there was someone that said that their boss had his wife, like, as his employee. That's not cool.
Well, that's, I think, also a different scenario. The thing is, it's like, it's not like the city or the state is going to sue Ned for sleeping with an employee or something. That's not why it's a problem. The problem ultimately would be that Alex would leave and then sue the fuck out of the company.
Correct.
It's a huge liability. She's the one that has the power here.
Yeah.
Which, again, yeah, she definitely seems like she was a willing participant, but that doesn't change.
What gave you that impression? Same side of the booth? Yeah, and I saw a lot of people relating to me when I bring up, like, the kid thing and the being a wife thing. But I just can't imagine not giving a shit about my husband enough to embarrass him to this level. Like, do you know how much time you spend with someone when you live with them and have kids with them? Every waking second of a day. How do you take all of that and just be like, yeah, whatever. Like, I just cannot imagine that.
So you mentioned the clip of her feeling insecure about being older than the rest of them. I saw a clip where it was, because I told you, the wives, like, do a podcast together. Like, they're not in, like, a little, like, they're not in, like, one or two videos where it's like, meet my wife. It's like, no, they're in a lot of the content and have very much, like, become this like Try Guy universe. And so has Alex, which is so fucked up about it. But in one of the podcasts, I saw a clip that was so sad because apparently all the girls were talking about, the guys had done a podcast talking about, like, their wives and, like, cleaning. And I guess, like, Keith says, like, oh, I don't know what I would do without Becky because, like, she does this for me every day, blah, blah. And then I guess they all, like, say something positive and complimentary. And then it gets to Ned and he bitches about how Ariel, like, throws his food away.
I saw
too early
that.
Or something.
Yeah.
And that's so stupid and minimal. But, like, I saw that. And then I felt like I kept seeing stuff where it was, like, the last, like, year of content, he has seemed very, like, my wife.
I think that people also have the impression that because these people are rich, because they are, they're very, very well off at the very least. I don't know. Like, I've seen a lot of like, oh, they probably have nannies and they probably like have people who do things. In that podcast alone, you get that like glimpse of her saying like, no, I do everything. Like, I literally do all the cleaning and he wants to bitch about me throwing like old food in the fridge away. Like, I do everything, which I would take complete offense to as well.
She said that they were like all going around. She's like, oh, cool, like, when's my turn? Like, what's he gonna say? And then he just kind of like says that, and she's like, oh.
And the problem is that I understand, like I've said, I don't judge her for whatever decision she decides to make regarding this, but I do hope she leaves. Because you cannot bargain with your worth. Like, you cannot convince a person who genuinely looks at you and doesn't get it and doesn't see what a valuable person you are to get it. And I've seen it in my personal life where people just live their life begging for that worth. And it's really fucking sad. It just is. And I hope she fucking gets away because she's so much fucking, he's such a tool. Like, what is a redeeming quality about Ned? Name one.
If she does stay with him, it's hopefully not because she's choosing to just deal with it, but that she sees that there's something going on with him that she like wants to help him work through.
I just feel like you've
given up enough already, and I don't think it's fair that he...
I wish that was the case, but for sure, like, I feel like if she does stay, it's gonna be just for the kids, because I know, like, my kids definitely need their parents, like, both of them. Like, my son very much so needs both of us in, like, constantly, and I just know that, like, if something like this happened, it would break me, but then I don't know how I would react, because I'm like, but my kid needs both of us here. What the fuck am I supposed to do?
Well, and it's hard when, again, I don't know what's going on in their relationship, so this might not be true, but it's like, if she thought everything was fine up until like a certain point, and then it's like this earth shattering moment, it's like, does she, like, she still loves him because she still has this other version of him in her head, maybe, that it's just so,
I know this is kind of like more, not morbid, but like, it's just maybe not the healthiest part of me that is this curious. But like, what the fuck is Alex doing right now? Like, Alex and Ned, that they like just a month ago, like when they got caught, were still canoodling around very publicly. What are they doing right now?
I started to say earlier that I don't feel bad for Ned, but I also have to wonder, like, oh my God, what's happening?
I know, but I'm saying, like, did they just go from thinking that they were in love with each other to being like, whoopsie, we shouldn't talk?
Well, and that's why I don't understand, like, the whole, like, how he refers to it as a relationship in his statement and not an affair or a mistake or something with a bad connotation. It's like, no, something that I was invested in. And now, like, do they not talk?
Of course they can't talk. Honestly, Ned's a fucking idiot. So I don't know if they don't talk, like, actually. Because if he's still sneaking in the barn outside or something outside, like, to just make a phone call, I would lose it. But, like, I don't put it past him. However, he has to be on, like, a very brief, like, no Alex time right now. It has to be, because he's saying, like, oh, I'm going to focus on my wife and stuff like that. I think right now he's trying desperately to maybe not get kicked out of his home. And, like, maybe he's like, okay, let me just try for a little bit. But how long is that going to last before you return to, like, your love, you know, the person you've been loving for a year? Like, I don't know. It's also weird.
How do you get to that point and not just, like, just get a divorce? Why would
you? Listen, you don't know how many times I've told Nassim that. I'm like, leave my ass, okay? I don't care how fucking nightmarish that will be. Just leave me. If you want to go suck someone else's titties,
if you have any respect for me at all, please.
Just the most minimal. I get it. Divorce. You don't even have to get divorced. You could have been separated, motherfucker. You could have just been like, I'm leaving, and go leave. Well, and then you could fuck someone that night, and it would have been more ethical than what you did.
I did see some people say maybe they had an open relationship.
Nope.
And I was like,
no,
but
chance.
Again, it all comes back to, he still wouldn't be that, he shouldn't be that willing to be in public when his whole thing is that I love my wife. If it wasn't publicly out that he was
so
separated,
funny.
He wouldn't be doing that.
Even if they had an open relationship agreement, his behavior still wouldn't have been smart for, like, million reasons.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't even a purely selfish, like, I don't give a fuck about my wife. He didn't give a fuck about himself. And that's why it's so fucking weird.
Also, I don't think we mentioned this in the last episode, but a bunch of like BuzzFeed old employees and stuff, and just a bunch of people were like relaying the sentiment that they were not surprised. They knew that this was coming. Not knew this specifically was coming, but knew that he was a douchebag. And I saw a clip somewhere. I'll have to find it. But it was Ned and Zach. It was a very interesting moment where Zach had privated a video because Ariel was like being bullied in the comments. It's from their documentary. Oh, okay, yeah. So she was being like essentially harassed in the comments and people were going ham. And so Zach took it upon himself. He didn't ask anybody. He took it down because he's like, Ariel's getting ripped to shreds in the comments. And Ned got fucking upset about that and like told Zach, like, no, put it back up.
I took the video offline. I didn't tell anybody. They noticed.
Zach, imagine how you felt yesterday. I felt the exact same way. And now I also have had my project ripped off the internet by my friend.
I worked for months on the project, and my wife was getting the brunt of the cyberbullying. I think that you're overreacting. Okay. And I think we should put it back up and maybe consider, if you're really worried about it, disabling the comments section.
I scrolled through the comments, and normally I'm the first person to say that this is a minority. It's all of them. It's every tweet I've got.
Oh my God, like if my husband didn't give a fuck, like if I was getting ripped to shreds in comments and like someone else had to like stand up for me, I would be disgusted.
It reminds me of, not to make it about us, but do you remember the cheat day clip?
What cheat
that
day
clip? Went viral on Twitter?
Why are you mentioning this? Why are you mentioning this? That was because traumatizing, Lily.
This is exactly what happened. So I get into the office one morning. If you guys don't know that, I used to work for a company called Clever, and I made a show called Cheat Day. It was like, we eat weird food and whatever. So I wasn't in every episode because even the amount of ones I was in made me sick because there was so much food. Jessie was a series regular, and she was in an episode with two of our other hosts that were from the Clever TV channel that did all the celebrity news in Spanish.
I like how you say TV.
And Clever TV. The three of them did a video where they were trying Mexican candies for the first time.
Which, by the way, can we just say, I'm Hispanic, okay? I'm Cuban.
I don't know if it was racist of me to have you three do it, but they all spoke Spanish, so it just made sense because they could read the packaging.
Well, I don't think it, whatever. The point is the three Hispanics of Clever were put together. I'm Cuban, Miriam's Cuban, and Vivian, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Vivian's Mexican.
I think the reason we had the three of you do it, though, was so it wouldn't be controversial, because usually I was the one that always got shit because I don't like anything. And even though I know I don't like anything, but I would try it, people would get so mad at me. And it was always like, Jessie and I tried exotic fruits.
Yeah. Our fruit episode, we got reamed. They're like, you fucking like, dumb bitches. You know, like, guys, we put something in our pie hole and we didn't like the way the flavor was. Like, that's
suddenly
it.
We were insulting an entire culture. So this Mexican candies video, I didn't even buy the candies for it, but someone went to like a Mexican market and bought a bunch of stuff.
Which, by the way, okay, can I just say some things before you continue? This was the first time that I had tried any Mexican candies. Vivian, obviously not, because she's Mexican. So she grew up with these candies, okay? For me, I didn't grow up with these candies. And if you don't know about Mexican candies, a lot of the flavors are very much so sweet and spicy, sweet and like salty flavors. Like, it's very different from your traditional candies. So when I first, you know, tried them, very like, whoa, this is like very different. However, I have come to find out over the years, because I have friends that are Mexican who have given me Mexican candies, there are way better fucking Mexican candies that we didn't try.
Oh, I'm sure there are. Well, it's because we were sending like a white person to go buy them from a Mexican market.
It was very much like strong, like tamarind and like just the spiciest candies. There are like, I go to a Mexican market near my house currently in my life to go get Mexican candies because they're so fucking fire. But the ones we tried were dog shit. I didn't like them.
Well, this video goes up, and I don't think the video on YouTube got that
never
much hate. It was like a pretty normal, I mean, never really. The fruits. No, but on YouTube, it was like normal reaction. Maybe a couple people were like, how dare you? But no one cared.
And then years passed. Did they not? Or
it
like
wasn't
at least
years. I don't think it was. No,
at least
no,
a year.
It was like maybe a year.
Okay.
Maybe a year.
That's a long time.
And I come into work one morning, and Vivian is sobbing And I'm like,
I didn't know this.
Yeah, this is why it was relevant. Oh. And I was like, oh my God, why is, what is happening? And she, like, Vivian's like, work, 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 never anything wrong. Is always, she is just hysterical. And come to find, it is because someone has clipped a portion of this YouTube video and put it on Twitter. It had gone viral. It was some like popular, like a meme site or something.
Yeah.
And they had reposted it. And I think it was like, how do you say stupid bitches?
Well, the reason... Pendejas.
Is that what it's
like? But like, it was like all over my timeline. Like, I remember logging in. I think I was pregnant at the time. And I just logged onto my Twitter and I see pendeja, pendeja, pendeja. And I'm like, bingo, what the fuck did I do, bitch? Like, I don't even fucking know. I don't even said anything on Twitter in days. And I see the clip. Gotta admit, not my best clip. But it was.
I don't remember what you said. But I remember. Specifically, I remember you guys were eating something that was.
I remember exactly what it was.
Quite literally a plastic spoon.
Okay, it was a plastic white spoon with like tamarind paste on it, wrapped in like cellophane with like a little rubber band. And I made the comment that it looked like someone made it in their backyard. And you know what? It did. And I stand by that
Factually,
as someone who
it did.
I stand by that as someone who loves Mexican candy now and who has ordered from like, there's this one called Chile Babe on TikTok, and I've ordered their like spicy peach ring gusher, like their peach ring candy, well, whatever the fuck. Okay, I support
it
Mexican
could have been
businesses.
Made in the backyard. That doesn't mean you don't like it.
Like, okay, I'm Cuban, right? But I'm second generation Cuban. My dad was born in Cuba. I was not born in Cuba. I know Spanish. Spanish was my first language. Then I spoke English. Now Spanish is my second language. Whatever. I don't need to fuck explain myself. I was on Twitter constantly explaining myself because people were reaming us and they were like, "Aye, these white girls," because I guess they say that Vivian, even
thing.
Though
it's
they like, knew she was Mexican, they were like, "She's whitewashed and so she has no say in this." And I literally have to ask the question because, you know, people try Cuban food and don't like it, and people try, you know, all sorts of things and don't like it. Why the fuck, like, can people not say like, this flavor not my vibe, or this look, this packaging is not my vibe? That has nothing to do with your culture, your people, like how rich your culture is, anything like that. I love all, I mean, I'm fucking, bro, it was wild, guys. I went on
that
Twitter.
That show just exposed us to some, to like a new breed of people that it's like, wow, I didn't realize that people were so sensitive. But they were very much watching it and reacting as if it was me going, oh my God, this looks like I made it in my backyard.
Like, yeah, like, yeah, they literally were. Yeah. I hate that you brought that up. My heart is like pounding. I'm being canceled all over again.
So I remember Vivian comes into my office and she's like so upset, and I like don't know what to do because it was on Twitter that it had gone viral, but they had grabbed it because Facebook had repurposed the old cheat day episode and it had just recently gotten posted. So I went in and had to go into Lauren's office and I was like, take it off Facebook right now.
You did?
And
I didn't
like,
know this.
Well, I think I have to like ask someone. I was like, take it off the Facebook right now. Oh, and she was like, oh, and I was like, Vivian is hysterical. Take it off the Facebook. It doesn't matter. I'm like, I can guarantee you this one Facebook video is not going to like make or break defy. I mean, like, we go bankrupt 6 months later. But
because of this one.
Like, this isn't going to make or break our financial goals for the year. Fucking take it down. And like, nothing against Lauren at all. She was, it's her job on the line because she's the social media person. So she's like, well, what if I'm not supposed to? I get it. But I also was like, I'll talk to the bosses. It's fine. Like, I'll work it out. When you see a human reaction to something that should not be happening.
What the fuck? I didn't even know it went that viral. I didn't even know it was on Facebook.
I honestly don't think you, I think Vivian got the most of the hate. And that was...
Because she's like, actually Mexican. So people were like, oh, she's just like betraying
And why
us.
She was also like upset by it too. So.
Oh my God. Of course. Now I'm thinking of that. And like, yeah, that would make me so upset if like a bunch of Cuban people were like, you're fucking like dishonoring us all this shit. That would devastate me.
No, it was. And Viv is just I'm like, no, don't stop. So I did everything I could. And then. Where do I go back to Try Guys?
Yeah, because Ned didn't even give enough of shit. Yeah,
so I completely understand from Zach's point of view, if he's seeing all of these comments and it's like overwhelming to the point they're like, oh, these aren't gonna stick. Because, you know, once there's a few comments that gain traction, it's just gonna breed more. So I totally understand him trying to like nip it in the bud and take the video down. Obviously, that's not like an ideal scenario that you would have to make a decision and not consult the other people that are equally involved and responsible for all of it. But you would hope that they would have the same reaction if they were seeing it. And it's unreal to see then it's Ned arguing with it. I'm like, wouldn't he be the one that would want it taken down?
I mean, I think that it's very clear at this point that he has fallen completely out of love with his wife and, like, doesn't actually even give a shit. Like, thinks that Alex is this, like, amazing, bright, shiny new toy. And I say that because, like, even something as trivial as, like, the live stream that went horrible for the Deaf Noodles roast, Nassim was, like, the first person to be, like, when I said, I don't know, I really want to take it down. He's like, then just private it, like, right now. Like, just private. He knew that, like, if I left it up, it would collect ad revenue and, like, you know, potentially whatever. And he's like, fuck that. Like, just private it right now. And so I privated it with his support immediately. And just to think of, like, having someone that's supposed to be your, like, number one advocate, whatever, life partner, look at you and just be like, not even look at you, look at someone else who was trying to defend you over that person. Like, it's just, it's,
and he was like,
so
I worked
insane
on that for months. And it's like,
don't give a fuck. Kay. Like, literally don't care.
You work on a lot of videos.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And honestly, Ariel deserves a lot better, which, quick segue into Young Gravy.
Is there a Young Gravy update?
Are you joking? Of course there is. So Young Gravy, let me just send you this this lovely TikTok I just got tagged in right before I got ready for this.
This. What a treat.
I just sent you the Young Gravy clip. Please pull it up. Tell me that's not just the best full circle moment.
Oh my God. You know, he gives me the ick, but, like, I kind of love him.
Well, you know, him and, you know that him and Ethan, they kissed? It was a whole thing. He had Young Gravy on and they ended up kissing. He asked Ela for permission. It's a whole thing.
I kind of feel like I saw that, but I thought, like, a picture, but I thought it was fake.
No, no. Full on, they did kiss. I mean, not, like, with tongue, but real quick peck. But anyway, Ethan had him on the H3 podcast, and it was actually very, like, nice to hear him speak because he's a respectable king. Like, even when he's talking about, like, MILFs and stuff, he's talking about, like, no, I haven't fucked, like, that many people in my life. Like, he's, like, not trying to be this, like, thing, which is why he's so comforting to MILFs that are recently scorned. And honestly, Nassim, watch out. I'm just kidding. I might fall into his arms if you do me dirty.
He didn't give me, like, bad vibes, but I think the whole VMA thing really just creeped me out of, like, how public they were. And it felt like him leading the public. Like, it felt like she was going along with it, but it felt like him being kind of aggressive.
Yeah, he's a little bit opportunistic with the MILFs, but he's very smart. He even acknowledges that he made, like, this MILF thing, like, his whole kind of shtick, which helped him, you know. I think he has, like, a background in, like, marketing or something.
Oh, of course. Well, and even when we were joking about the, what's the toilet liquor girl?
Ava Louise, the toilet liquor, as she should be referred to as that for all of eternity. Thank you.
Her. That he was following her and that was the whole reason he was DMing her and that's why Monty Lopez started talking to her and the whole thing. That I was like, oh, so he's not exclusive to MILFs, which makes me think, like, that's not, like,
he even says it.
He'll take what he can get, but, like,
no, he says that he's not exclusive to MILFs, that he made that kind of, like, his brand, and, like, he, you know, he'll fuck a MILF, you know, whatever.
I mean, I guess Ariel is MILF. She has two kids. So I would absolutely die if,
you know, that she knows what she's doing by following him. Like, there's no way she just followed him by chance.
Which makes me love her, though, so much. So I'm like, yes, bitch. Do everything
what
like
what makes
that.
Me so happy is that from his screenshot, he did follow her back, but I was under the impression that Young Gravy followed her first.
No, but
this shows that she followed him first, which is
I love it so much. I'm that. Like, yes, 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 yes. Keep it coming, Ariel.
Sometimes you just need to be fucked by Young Gravy to spite your shitty husband. Love that. Anyway, I think that's about all we needed to get caught up to the Try Guys drama, but it was a wonderful dessert of the whole situation. I hope there's nothing else for everyone's sake involved in this situation. I hope this is it.
I think the positive point of this is that I don't think that they're going to have any problems. Like, I don't think that they're coming out of this looking bad, as they shouldn't. If anything, hopefully, I think it's introduced them to a whole new audience and they'll be even more successful. I'm very sad for Ariel and hope that she figures out something that is best for her. And fuck Ned.
Everyone can agree with that last statement.
I think we
any Ned fans in the chat? No. Never.
I just can't imagine, like, what if you were a diehard Ned fan and then it was just like, oh. It's disappointing as someone who wasn't a fan. So I can't even imagine, like, fuck. I just wish them all the best. But no, I mean, maybe not Ned, but I wish everyone else the best. And maybe not Alex either.
No, not Alex. Everyone else. Anyway, but really the only other thing we wanted to talk about to switch on to our next topic was really quickly, we wanted to touch on, right, the Tana Mojo Trevi situation.
I was literally like, what other topic? Tell me.
You have short-term memory loss, Lily.
You know I do.
We just talked about this.
Yeah. I got distracted. We talked about this for too long. Yeah, this isn't like internet drama or anything. It's actually like the opposite of, I think. But
well, I think it was internet drama like up until now, because I feel like people have speculated. If you guys don't know Trevi Moran, and well, you know Tana Mojo. If you're on this channel, you know Tana Mojo. People had speculated and like created some drama for a while now. I've heard like whisperings of why they weren't friends anymore. And it was like alluded to and videos and like their documentary, not documentary, what is that Tana Mojo MTV show considered?
Yeah, she had a reality show. I keep thinking back and even watching the video of them yesterday, I was laughing the whole time because Jocelyn and I dressed up as them for Halloween 1 year.
No, did you?
When they were, they basically had like a break in their friendship, but back when they were still friends.
Oh my God, how random. Okay, well, yeah, they were very well known as like best friends,
like that's from very were. Early on. They were like the beginning of Tana's career. She was friends with Trevi.
Fun fact, I had a meet and greet in Playlist Live or VidCon. It was the one where Jenna Marbles was like in the table next to me. It was Jenna Marbles, me, Trevi Moran.
I don't remember the first time I ever met Trevi, but has always been an absolute angel. Like the nicest. I think of like Coachella, that I would be like walking to go enter and she'd be like going down the other way. She'd be like, Lily! Just like screaming.
Oh my God, really?
Oh, hi.
I don't think she ever knew who I was, so I never really got to like encounter like that.
I mean, I would never be like, I'm friends with her, but like we knew each other, definitely. And I appreciated that she would always say hi.
I think the reason, well, not only to just like end this on a note that's not Ned Fulmer, but just to touch on what happened, they ended up doing a video on Trevi's channel, which was them sitting down and talking about the fallout of their friendship. And I found it very interesting because it was a completely different side of Tana. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an act. It wasn't some bullshit. It wasn't trying to be funny. It was just Tana. And I think we've talked about on the podcast of like how we kind of have a soft spot for her, even though she's incredibly problematic. She's done a lot of shit that's like, you don't do that, Tana. At the same time, she's been famous since she was very, 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 very young. Not an excuse, but it's just the reality of it.
And I think we always say that's like, we have a soft spot, but we don't even always know why. Like, it's kind of like, right. Well, yeah, I do. I always, like, I always am secretly rooting for her. I mean, not secretly, right. I am rooting for her. But I think that this podcast was a good example of like, oh, that's why. Like, she seems like she does have a good head on her shoulders.
Yeah, and basically they just went over, you know, Trevi has a lot of, like, addiction issues. And, you know, they were just talking about that and how Tana, I mean, literally the title of, like, why they fell out. And it was just her basically saying, like, she had no fucking idea how to deal with it. And Trevi was basically saying, well, it wasn't, like, your fault. It was just a very mature conversation, which I think we've come to not expect from Tana.
Yeah. I know that's all about, and honestly, really. And I wouldn't come to expect like immature conversations from Trevi, but just like in general, when you see a video with the two of them, this is not the typical video you're going to get. Trevi basically, it's that she went in and out of rehabs for like several of them over the course of a few years and had really hit some low points. And it got to the point that I guess Tana and some of their other friends just stopped hanging out with her. Like it wasn't a clear cut, like we're not talking to you anymore. It was just like they were partying and what Trevi was doing was on another level and they just like didn't want to enable it anymore. Yeah, like
they'd
all
be partying at night and then Trevi in the morning would be awake at 8 a.m. drinking and they were like, what the fuck? You know, it was clear to them that it was an addiction issue, but then they didn't know what to do with that
because they were all like, I was gonna say, young. And they're like 21. So even I can't imagine like going to ASU, the goal was to get fucked up. So like I understand being in that kind of party scenario, but then not understanding that other people are not doing it at the same level that you're doing it.
I think everyone goes through that point in their life where drinking is their only personality trait. And I say that as someone who's very much had that a very public part of my life where it's like every video I'm joking about drinking and it's Jessie drinking her wine and drinking this. And we drink like literally every episode. We have a beer. We have a...
It makes it easier to talk heavily for 2 hours and stuff. No. But I think back to like in... Like when I was in college that there was points that it's like if we were doing something fun, there had to be drinking involved. Like that was just understood.
I feel like it's so hard because it's so normalized. And I mean, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of helping normalize like drinking all the time. But for these younger kids that are very public with it, it has to be so confusing and stuff. But Tana really did just, I think, such a great job of like talking to Trevi. You could tell she really loves Trevi.
That's the thing. It's like, I think a lot of the stuff with her is that she comes across as like ingenuine.
Yes.
But I think that that's why I do like her, is because I think she is genuine in real scenarios.
Yeah. I think Tana even touches on how young people specifically, you go to all these influencer parties, even Playlist Live. In Playlist Live and VidCon, they'll ID you to get a wristband, but like, come on. Like, you know what yeah. I mean? You can get, but all the drinks there are free for the most part. You get tickets or something. And she talks about how young people are like literally fed alcohol and drugs and stuff to be like maintained in the way that people want them to be. Well, and I find that very interesting because I think it's true.
Well, and they even bring up though in the podcast, or I guess it's not a podcast, just a video, but about like Demi Lovato and all the people that have undergone a lot of substance abuse problems and were child stars, that I think Trevi says, imagine like how it was for us. Like it was a million times that for them. Because they actually had teams and stuff, and those were the people enabling it. So then you have like these teenagers that are getting all of this money and access to things and have no one around them to be like, excuse me, you're not supposed to be doing that, except each other. And they're all fucked up, so they don't even realize what's going on.
You know what? I actually think it might be not worse than celebrities have to deal with, because it's obviously on a bigger scale, but just different in its own right, because people don't get how easy it can be to make money on the internet. You know, you spend maybe a day doing a brand deal, right? You dedicate couple hours of doing that, you edit yeah. for like 8 hours, whatever, it's a day of your work, and you're making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Most people cannot say that. To make thousands and thousands of dollars, a lot of people have to put in so much fucking work.
There's an opportunity to do very small windows of work and then have a lot of free time to exactly just burn.
Like you look at even Tana Mojo now, and she doesn't upload all that often because she doesn't yeah. have to upload all that often because she makes a lot of money, and that can be really debilitating. And it's different than being a celebrity because you're also well known, but you don't have to work as hard as these people are, like work to the fucking bone to go on tour and do a million meet and greets and a bunch of shit. You do work, it's not like you don't do anything, but they're just making it so easily that it harbors that environment of just like, okay, we have money to blow, and like, what are we gonna go do with it? And drinking yeah. and shit just kind of falls on their lap. So yeah, I can't imagine.
And not that as like an insult, like, oh, influencers don't, no one wants to work these days.
Kim Kardashian, is that you?
Not like that, but I think it is just a different kind of realm. And then also just that they do kind of get offered at this day and age a similar kind of access to things.
Yeah.
And like people are willing to give you things, and then there isn't the same kind of support system around you. Yeah. Not to say that a bunch of child actors have support systems, but like think of a bad support system and think of then none.
Yeah. I have had a very small taste of, like, I would say the beginning of my Vine days, because I was only 19 years old, or I was 18 when I started like gaining popularity on Vine.
I cannot imagine, like, and also it's like what you would have done. I know I've seen like kind of embarrassing clips of Addison Rae like using her following to get into clubs and stuff. I wonder, I'm like, if I had millions of followers and I was fucked up and we were all trying to get in somewhere and I had I think I would have done that. I hope I wouldn't have been embarrassing, but
I know.
I probably
yeah.
would have. I'm really glad that nothing existed back then.
But I don't know. I wish them both well. I don't know. Does this mean they're best friends again?
I don't think they ever stopped being friends. Yeah, and I think that was the whole point, that I think people really read into it and they were like, no, we had to stop talking and it wasn't something appropriate to talk about to you guys. And now they're good. Trevi took out her like year sober chip and showed it off.
Yeah, I didn't make it to the end. That's cool.
And that she seems like she's really doing great. And I'm happy for her.
Love that for them. We had to end it on a good note, guys. Ned was just giving me the stomach
really
gurgles.
Negative 2 weeks. Actually, before we end, I do have to say, we got several comments that are like, women cheat too. It's not just men, because of how we started the last episode. And I want to be like, okay, we're not stupid. We know that that's true. It's that literally you realize the last two episodes before this had been about two famous men cheating. That was why that was the thing. And that it is stereotypically more men.
I am not going to sit here and apologize for saying that men should be abolished. I just won't do it. I won't even explain myself.
As for me asking why men, I think that is a valid question. And it doesn't apply to all men. And if you're mad about that, come on, then you get should over look it. In the mirror.
I'm sorry. I will not. I am married to a man. I have many men in my life who I love. They should all be abolished. Do I need to elaborate? No, I will not. I'm done. Keith was very upset. Let's not forget how upset Keith was.
Oh my God, wait. Well, guys, I posted this on Twitter. We literally just hit 32,000 subscribers, which thank you so much, by the way. You guys, that's like, we got like 3,000 in the last week.
Yeah, we're a little shook.
My mom will like text me like view updates. She'll be like, it looks like you have this much. I'm like, actually, we have this much. It just hasn't updated yet.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
But then I'll send her, I was like, oh, we just hit 32,000 subscribers. She's like, didn't you just hit 30? Yeah, Keith Brunson. If you're watching, hello. I find it odd that you're watching, though, because you seem to think you have no idea why anyone would be interested in this show.
When I saw that, you know, I just thought, Keith, please see the first sentence that I uttered in the show. I mean, literally.
People like this, I'm like, you realize, though, commenting is going to make it get recommended to you more.
Okay, I don't even, I honestly don't mind comments like this. I'm like, okay, Keith.
Do you think Keith just comments on literally every video he watches and he just goes, I kind of understand why people are interested in watching this.
Anyway, we got to end the show. I got to go pee.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah, that's it. We have nothing else to say. I'm really sweaty. We have to go.
We love you and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for watching.
Bye.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.